that came from.
A turning point for Koss Tailored came in the late 1990s. This is what I've heard and read. One of your biggest clients ordered all of its suppliers to quote unquote go lean. Yeah. So in a sense, you were forced to restructure your entire company overnight. So you end up going to Japan to study Toyota. Take us back to that time. And what was that like? That must have been kind of an earth-shattering moment for Koss Tailored.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was scary. So I think we can say the name of the company.
Okay.
So it was Boeing, and it was a gift. They really did. And I later in life got to meet some of the people who made that decision at Boeing. And the intention was really, we need to be able to collaborate differently with our suppliers. And we, Boeing, have discovered that working in flow would be much more productive for us. And so they came out with a program and said, hey, we need everybody to get on board learning this. And they provided free training for us and a few other things. Ultimately, it got distorted by the chase for cost reduction. But in the very early days, it was a blessing. So and one of the first things we did is we saw this coming and we said, okay, let's learn it, because we weren't going to get the consultants in the early days since we were a tiny supplier. And we didn't really have confidence that the trainers that would come to us would be top tier trainers. We thought they might be the second or third generation of teachers. So anyhow, we started learning about it, and our consultants came in, and like later they'd say, it was really hard. We came in and like, your structure was actually set up more like Toyota than most companies are. My dad had done a good job, kind of. And so I begged them to take me to Japan, and partly because, okay, it was really hard to believe. Higher quality, you could do that. Lower cost, yeah, sorry. Shorter lead time, more innovation, more learning, more joy, more resiliency. So as they started stacking up all the benefits of this, my bullshit meter just went off too loud. So, my dad's as well. So I just said, hey, please show me, take me. I want to see it. And I don't want to just see Toyota. I want to see other people trying to do this there. And they graciously organized a trip. And day one, I think it was just like maybe the second tour. My dad's like, yeah, dummy, this is what I've been trying to teach you all along. So it was a gift.
So, Jeff, tell me, you know, Toyota production. So, you know, that's been translated as just lean manufacturing. And my understanding of lean, I have a brother who's in aerospace manufacturing, and he was on a lean team at Boeing. And it's really a cool system in terms of efficiencies and just eliminating every single waste that you can. But I take it the Toyota system was way more than just lean manufacturing. Tell me about, what did that system teach you about the value of employees and how you treat employees?
Yeah, that's a great insight, I think. And it took us a while to understand. When you're there, you'll hear the leaders say, I know you're here to study flow or eliminating waste, but it's really about growing people. It's a growing people system, or a thinking people system. And we just didn't get it. Like every tour, there'd be somebody go, but I want the cost reduction. I want the money. I want, you know. And so, and in fact, I think the person who coined lean manufacturing might be Mr. Womack. I'm not sure, Dr. Womack. It was really good marketing, because the people with power in business usually are the people who control the money. And it got attention. So for that, I'm really grateful. Lean Thinking, I think, was one of the books that did that. But that was never what we heard at Toyota, never once, or any of those companies. Not one time did I ever hear them say lean, that word even. It was always about improvement and Kaizen and inspiring. So it took me several trips to go, oh, you're not just marketing. Like, this is actually the thing. You're growing people. The byproduct is you get quality, cost, lead time, the money stuff. And so it became a clear, five or six trips in, that they were about growing people and letting work be the method of growing people, which became super inspiring to me.
Mm. So when did this turn into a culture shift at Koss? Because when you say growing people, I'm sort of flashing back to earlier parts of my career where I hear a manager say, hey, we're going to send John to a seminar in Atlanta. And sort of that's growing John, and he'll want to stay because we sent him to that seminar. I'm hearing from you that it's much deeper than that. So help me understand what it really means to grow an employee.
Yeah, so that's a great example. So when we say move with flow, the principles we use are known, show, truth, like do we know the laws of nature? Do we do it a little bit at a time? And do we do it to the pull of the future, the pull of something we desire? So truth, bid, and pull. So sending somebody to a seminar is a batch. And frankly, it's pretty normal here. People say, I went to a seminar and I thought it was great. And then, but I didn't apply it when I got back to work. So there's a lot of science around how human beings actually learn and grow. And I can tell you it's not in a batch. It's a little bit every day, like kids learn. So I guess as it relates to the culture shift for us, it was when I started to understand the principles, the underlying thinking, we chose to invite people for tours into our factory 15 years ago, maybe. And at some point we counted over 40,000 guests had been through our factory. Our original intent was, let's find out what's not true about the system so then we can tell the whole world we found the problem. It's true sometimes. About 2 years in, we're like, we haven't found any holes. In fact, it's more true than we thought. And so as we gain the courage to test and do and allow people to come in more than one time over a period of years, we didn't want to be hypocrites. So it caused us to be learning from a variety of inputs all the time, constantly having to defend or consider alternatives from a variety of industries. At some point, we realized, oh, it's always true. We can't prove this crap wrong. It's always true. So once we started to know it's always true, then it wasn't courageous. It wasn't leadership. It was just, oh, it's something true. Let's just follow it. Let's just do it. And that's, I think, when we really started to move forward and started looking at other science, other experiences, other tools to say, what causes truth to be known? Visual management. What causes little bits? Oh, the internet is a bit. A phone call is batch. Oh, that's different. It started infecting everything that we do. And certainly teaching the world about it was part of the way that we were inspired to keep going. I'm not sure if that helps answer your question.
It does. Yeah. It does. And help me understand, like, on a day-to-day basis, you know, how you interact with employees, how much autonomy you give them over the process of making stuff. Let's drill down a little bit deeper on just what that means. Because, like, I come from a farming background. And when you want a plant to grow, you don't force it to do anything. You just create conditions that allow it to grow,
yeah,
like the right soil and the right, you know, irrigation and, you know, all that stuff.
Really great. So in order to have that conversation, and farming is a great example where we can say, look, a human being can take credit for stirring the dirt, making sure the dirt is in great condition. We can even think about the location of the crop where we want to put it, and we can certainly put the seed in the ground, but we don't make it grow. So we can put water and manure on it, but there's this part that we control, part we don't control. In the manufacturing process, there are more things that are controllable, and by law, because we do things for airplanes, it's really important that we all do it the same way. So if three of us are going to plant a garden that we're going to eat out of, to me, it makes sense that we communicate and collaborate to make sure that we know where the beans are going and where the squash is going, where the corn is going, to make sure there's cross-pollination and that we have, you know, yummy meals at the end of the year. So the more people that you involve in any form of collaboration, the greater the need for standardization to basically say, let's make sure we do it the same way so that the experiment we're running on this crop cycle, we can learn from. Because if we all do it differently, when we don't have food at the end of the year, we don't know anything. So the further away you get from actual seed in the dirt, the feedback mechanisms are longer. So when we plant seed in the dirt and the weather turns up and there isn't something sprouting, we might even be able to rescue that crop that year because a feedback loop is super tight. But when we're actually planting the crops for the next decade, there's a different set of activities. So the freedom to make decisions is far greater. So if you're running in our factory and you're building something, the law is we make it exactly the same way because we're building things for airplanes. When we're growing people, the context of every culture, every ethnicity, but also every subculture is radically different. So the standard for that is show love and respect. It's much more open, and you might show love and respect different than I do. But if you don't show love and respect, we can agree that doesn't fit here. So it really depends on the context of the work as to how much freedom you have. One of the things that we did very early in life is we just were willing to say, this is what we're all about. We're about shining light to our community. And if you don't like that, it's okay, because it sounds kind of crazy to me when you tell me that. But you can't be here if you're not cool with growing people and shining light. And when we say growing people, it's not about retention. It's about equipping and contending and sending. And that's a really different way of viewing the idea of growing people. We don't build furniture and keep it. We build furniture and send it. We want to grow people so that they're a better version of themselves, so that they're more able to contend for their own families, contend for our communities. And we as a company want to contend for their talent, to say, we got to be your best option. But I really hate the word retaining. And so most of the equipping in the past has been, oh, give them a carrot so they feel good about learning a little something. Give them a little raise so they stay. Give them some golden handcuffs, so that we are radically rethinking what it means to equip and have them fit into that culture.
Wow.